This is Work and Learn Abroad. Welcome to this new show of Work and Learn Abroad. Today we have Cristiano Zanotti.
Yes.
And he's a software engineer that is been working abroad for a couple of years.
5 years.
5 years. And he's going to take his story about working abroad. Please keep following us in the iTunes, Google Play, or listening. If you just let us know. Welcome, Cristiano.
Oh, thank you, Leo, for having me.
So maybe we can start by talking a little bit about you.
Yeah, sure. So I'm Italian. I come from the north, between pretty much my cities, between Milan and Verona. My town is a small town close by a beautiful lake. The lake is called Iseo. Time ago we had like an artist from Bulgaria building a bridge on the water, and the opera was called The Floating Piers, and I think if you Google it you can find it was amazing. So it's a small, you know, small lake, small town surrounded.
How many people?
In my town,
yeah.
Well, we are 3,000.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Ooh,
I'm a kind of person that I really like those kind of environments in the middle of the nature. So
yeah, okay.
I really like that.
And from, you went to school and then to high school. At what time do you start to think about going abroad?
No, I think I always knew that at some stage of my life I would have gone abroad, because it's a kind of, you know, growing. I will repeat a lot of about growth, about, you know, I think, and then you cannot really say that, you know, talk about growth without exploring, right? Mm-hmm. There is something inside you that say, okay, go out there and see what's there, you know, and then you, there is something that is stronger, and then you just, you know, give up to that strength, that move outside. It's the curiosity that move you, and so, probably it's happened before. I was really determined to basically graduate. I lived in Milan, you know, coming from Brescia, that is the city. Then I moved for university in Milan. I stayed there. I took the bachelor, then the master. Then I stayed there a few years working over there.
And do you, by this time, were you fluent in English?
That's an interesting question. Well, I did exam in English, so I was able to write, I was able to read, I was able to listen English.
To perform in English well.
I was able, it was better writing and reading, but then when you had to speak, oh my gosh, that is where the problem is. Yes, I found we will talk later, but I found my problem when I moved the first time, that, you know, I needed to get a job. You know, I was looking for a job, was the English. I wasn't able to speak fluently, and when you are in that situation, because you are not natural, your English is not smooth, so you need to spend a lot of mental energy for
true.
So you're not an effective speaker. You need to spend a lot of energy, but still you also have to convince somebody to give the job.
Yeah.
So in the beginning, it's extremely difficult, right?
But if we go back in time and you were at the university, even that you could do stuff and you got the idea about going abroad, you did your master.
I did my master.
And then you stay to work a couple of years in Italy.
I wanted...
So what's... Your trigger, what were
my
your trigger?
My trigger is like the curiosity. Of course, I say that you need to go up there to see what's there, right?
Yeah.
But clearly I wanted to do some experience also in my own country before to do that. Because if not, you have the opposite. You are abroad and say, I never worked in Italy, right?
So
I started in Italy after my... I started with a stage where I did my thesis. Then after that one, I also moved in another two company, right? And I stayed in Milan, I think, 2 or 3 years.
Okay.
Now I don't remember correctly.
Yeah.
All right. 2 or 3 years. And I knew at some stage I wanted to go abroad. But for me, 2, 3 years was good for, you know, still learning. Because I have to say that I always been lucky in the places that I've been. I always learn a lot. But then, yes, I knew at some stage... I would have basically, you know, felt something to go abroad. And actually that time arrived through LinkedIn, right? I knew that sometime I would have basically started to proactively organize myself to go abroad.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, in that occasion, my first real idea to do that was like coming to me. So not me going toward the...
Oh, okay.
It was the opportunity coming to me.
Yeah.
Right. So there was this... it was a French consultant company. A consultancy company that proposed me to work for a customer that I knew. The company was something that I was really interested on.
Okay.
And so yes, I did interviews.
In English.
In English, yes.
And how did you feel? Because you that's the point. You start to do interviews. So, well, okay, I'm gonna go. So
yes, I felt. Well, it was new for me. Speaking in English it was difficult. I was able to speak. I wasn't effective though. I had that. You know, I.
You had your doubts.
Huh?
Did you have doubts? Like
No. Well, I was sure about. I mean, my English was a little bit mechanic. You know, it wasn't smooth. But still, the first interview I did was good. I did, was able to. There was a good feeling with the interviewer.
You felt good at the end.
I felt good.
Yeah, I'm okay. All my good. English
okay. That's perfect. You know, it was like bam. I signed the contract. I left the other job, and then I took some holidays before starting this new experience in French.
Yeah, okay.
But there is a but. All right.
Okay.
Stay tuned. So I'm in Rome in my vacation. Actually, in the middle of the Colosseum, all right?
Yes.
I'm visiting this wonderful Colosseum, and I receive a call from this French company, and they say, look, there has been a change.
You're in not... English?
In English.
Okay.
Well, this was a French guy speaking in English, okay. And he say, no, the company is not the same company you're going to work for. We have changed some plans. And at that stage, like, no.
Really? Sorry, Christina.
Yes.
Did you know the country where you are? Were you coming to Ireland or
France?
Oh, you were going to France.
France, yes.
Okay.
To work in English.
So okay.
So
okay.
The company, I knew the company. They talked in English.
Yeah.
It's an international environment. Exactly what I was looking for.
Okay. Not that far away from home. So.
Well, yeah. Not too far. But then.
Then you got a call.
I got a call and say, no, the company is different. And then I felt uncertainty, right? I said, look, you are going abroad to, for do a journey that and you know which journey you're going to do.
Yes,
at least you try to reduce the risk. You don't want to be passive and be like, uncertainty and then.
So
going with the flow, you want to shape that flow, right?
Yes.
Because if not, you can find yourself. You want to know what's out there, but if you end up in an environment that is not exactly what you're looking for, you're wasting time.
Yeah.
And also, when you do these steps, I think you have the responsibility also to to be professional, right?
Mm-hmm.
If somebody give you the trust, right? They hire you. You need to pay it back, right?
Yes, true.
So the problem is like if the environment is not what you're looking for, it's impossible to give 200% because you're not passionate about it. It's not what you're looking for. But still, you need to consume time for do well.
Yeah.
And all that time that you spend in something you're interested in, it's time that you don't spend on yourself to get what you want.
Yeah, right. I love what you're saying.
That was my mentality, and I think at that stage I've been brave enough to say no. I don't move anymore. I want to shape at this point. Okay, this is like I wanted to go abroad. I knew that at some stage I had to proactively organize my journey. This is the moment to do it. Clearly, before to do that, I need to reorganize myself, and I found another job in Milan pretty quick. And
so you didn't accept the offer?
I didn't accept. No, well, I say the guys, look, the conditions are changed, and
I don't really looking to do this
anymore. I thanks everybody, but also because we had some agreement, I think 3 weeks before. I mean, it's like I felt uncertainty in that time. Look, we spoke 3 weeks ago, and now you're already changing, you know. And I'm going towards something that I don't know, and I would rather, step back. And I, it was perfectly fine to do that because we didn't even start.
I think
I was in the position to, the conditions were changed, and they understand.
Yeah,
they understood.
And also, it happens that they might be changing the conditions again in a couple of weeks.
I will never know that, but yes, the feeling was what if you went in a place that it wasn't what you're looking for, and then condition changed again, you know.
Okay.
It's dangerous in that case.
So you got another company in Milano. And then you stay a couple of months
before... 6 months. Okay. I signed... it was perfect because they were looking a person for a project. For me, it was perfect. Say, I've been really clear about my intention to go abroad. At that time, even more than... I was really determined at that time. I say, look, I want to go abroad, but for me, it's good to, you know, work on this project. It's interesting. And I signed 3 months. But then after 3 months, the project wasn't finished, right? In the meantime,
doing your homework.
Yes, I thought, you know, where to go, which country to choose, stuff. And I chose basically Ireland because it was like in the software engineering industry, it's really strong. I had friends here. It was not too far from Italy.
Yep.
It was like 2.5 hours by airplane.
Yep.
So yes, I at that time I knew that Ireland was my country, right? Then after 3 months, I signed the extension of the contract for another 3 months for finish the project, because I told you, it's important to be professional and pay back any kind of trust that you receive. But then in that moment, I basically bought the tickets and I say
to your manager,
look, I bought the tickets. I'm going to finish the project, but you know, we are clear on this, right? And then, April arrived. It was the 24th.
So you let me see. Did you buy the tickets without having a...
Nothing.
Nothing. So you came for fishing.
Complete adventure, right? Nice. For me, I have to say, sometimes it's not easy to do that, because if you have family, if you have kids, if you have... it's totally different. Probably if you have responsibilities, the first approach, like, you know, you are working in your country and in the meantime you're looking something abroad, you know, you try to find something already before to go, mm-hmm. probably if you have responsibilities. In my case, I say I don't have I was single at that time. I didn't have children, still don't have children.
I'm going to give it a chance.
For me it was like easy, right? I had some resources because, you know, I was working, I think, 4 years at that time, so I had resources too. And I had that, as you know, really relaxed, you know, say, okay, I go, and you know, without the pressure, say, oh my god, you know.
Yep.
I never did like a student like experience, like to go in an English country and do the student to study English.
Yeah.
I knew, by the way, that I had to have a plan. I wanted to shape my experience abroad.
Okay.
And my first, and so you do you keep doing retrospective on yourself.
Yeah.
And the first point was, all right, you want to work abroad, what do you need? English, right? I know that I did the exam, but speaking English is totally a different story, especially when there is an interview. You know, it's important also not only to speak, but also you have to convince somebody to give the job, mm-hmm. right? And really just scream some words one after the other, and then it's extremely difficult in the mm-hmm, beginning. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So,
I usually do this question.
Yes,
maybe
please,
the people
please.
Who are listening to the podcast, or maybe if you have listened to the podcast, is there's this moment in your journey when you're leaving home, or in the middle of the air, when you're on the airplane, or when you just arrive a couple of days, or after, or at the moment that you just arrived, that you are like, I'm actually here, and then you feel a little bit uncertain, and then fear, and then excited, and then when and how do you this moment come to you?
I felt excited because to me it was the start of the journey. There is no failure in the
but was it before or along the trip, or when you were here?
You mean when I took the airplane?
Yes, that spirit, like, yes, I'm doing this.
Yeah, it was all constant to me, because I knew that would have gone. And when I was here, I say, yes, I'm here, I'm excited, I'm doing this
one. Okay, okay.
Of course, I didn't know if it would have worked out.
Yeah.
That's the thing, but I was excited anyway, because what I want to share with the audience is like, but this is my experience. It's not necessarily something, you know, that is right, or that is my thing.
Yeah.
And If you do a journey like this, moved by the curiosity, moved by the right spirit, right? Even let's say that you try to look for a job and you don't find it, right? But you know, if you go back, you will never be the same person anyway, mm-hmm. because you have had the chance to work on yourself.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
So I knew that. Clearly, if you go abroad and you don't do proactive, you don't work on yourself, that's different. Mm-hmm. Maybe you can waste time, I suppose. But if you go abroad and then your target is like, all right, what do I want to do here? You want to get a job. What I'm missing now to get a job, and then English. All right, mm-hmm. what do I need to do for English? Let's take an intensive course of 3 weeks, right? What I did.
Yep.
3 weeks of morning and afternoon of...
okay, so you came and then you
came here.
You enrolled in a English course.
Enrolled in a school, and I was in an Irish family. I wanted to do the student experience,
so nice.
I was constantly speaking English.
Nice.
I was trying to stay away from Italians,
yep.
to not speak Italian,
yep.
right? Because I needed, my target at that time was speak English.
Yep.
That was like, and so I basically spoke English, and I improved a little bit. It's a slow process, so don't get stressed if it's a slow process that, you know, speaking is extremely difficult.
And before the podcast started, we were talking about this, that when you start to speak English, it's not natural to you,
natural,
and then
no natural.
And then you get exhausted, and you get you go back
yeah.
home,
oh, yeah,
and
yeah,
you
yeah,
get
yeah, yeah.
you're wrecked,
yes, yes.
and you feel the days are
oh, yes.
longer.
Try to think when you do an interview that takes like 6 hours, right? Your English, maybe you start with an English that is decent, but then the more
yeah.
tired you get, the worse your English
yeah,
goes,
yeah, yeah.
right? And clearly that affects your performance in the interview, you
yeah.
know. Also because sometimes you need to reasoning on the logical question. But you are not so fresh because you spent a lot of energy. This is something normal, I think.
Yep. Yep.
But still, so after the 3 weeks that I did the English course in the class, I started to look for a job. Right. I then sent CV.
You have some friends.
I had some friends. Yes.
You ask to friends about how to get a job.
Oh yeah, I was like yes, it was yes. I asked that. I send a lot of CV. I contacted many job agents, right? That you know eventually proposed me several
mm-hmm.
Opportunities, right? I did some several interviews. You know, I say many of them failed, right?
Mm-hmm.
And but let me tell you that those interviews that didn't go well was an incredible opportunity to say, all right. What went wrong?
Mm-hmm.
And you start like, you know, you have an interview, it goes wrong, and you do retrospect on yourself. I can really share one in particular of my first interview that I had here in Ireland was about Java. That is my thing. I thought I was strong, right? Until you measure,
yes.
you know, your beliefs against something else. And I remember that interview goes really wrong
yeah.
In Java. And I was, oh, really?
Yeah.
And then...
I should know this.
I was really upset on myself.
Yeah.
I was really upset with myself. But then I did the job. I did the homework later. I say, okay, let's analyze the question. It's so extremely interesting. And I end up to find a book that is called Effective Java. That for me, I never read it. I said, why you never read this book? It's so good. I read that book, and the time that I finished the book, a few days, I was already another person, right?
Mm-hmm.
In professionally, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Even if I, you know, I go back now, I have a, because it doesn't, having a work, having something that pay you doesn't mean that you know, you can have also work on yourself, even if nobody works on you.
Yep.
The value is still there, I think.
Yep.
So little by little, you know, about these interviews, the English, became a little bit smoother, you know. I was, you know, in the meantime, I was refining, you know, new technology with meetups and stuff, and so I was gaining, you know,
yeah.
you know, I was growing.
With
I was growing.
Yeah.
I was growing. Another interview that I can share that didn't go well was about I wasn't synthetic, right? When I was sharing my CV,
yes,
right, and then I learned the CV you need. So try to think, you have 30 minutes with the person that is really busy. He want to know if you are the right fit to work with. You cannot, like, you know, you have 2 minutes to explain your CV,
yeah,
not
yeah.
anymore. But you have to practice, because if you don't practice, you will not be synthetic, and so you will become you lose time, and the interviewer will not be able to to proper knows if you are the right fit.
There's one thing that I share also in another episode today, is that when I was in Japan, and I 1 year before you leave in the university, they start to prepare for interviews. So you start to do job hunting. So you get books about how to interview. And if, at least in Costa Rica, we don't do this. And when I was there, I said, like, yeah, it makes sense. You should prepare for interview.
Absolutely.
Like you were saying, okay, what kind of a test, what kind of code can I be doing? What, how can I be effective in my way of explaining the projects that I've been in?
Leo, it's also important to do interviews. I mean, it's like as many as you can, because you get the touch. Right,
yeah.
Because it's different, yeah. Right? It's you have to do interviews, even if the company is like doing interviews, and then you know know more about the company also. But you practice. That's
yes.
I think it's really important.
Yeah.
Right? And then you improve. You
yeah.
you became smoother. You became like
yeah. and you get confidence with
yes,
the language,
yes,
and
yes.
you start to know better how
oh,
the,
yes.
how the culture for this country. In our case, that we are in a country that is abroad,
yes.
even that is a Western country, they do things different.
Oh yes, oh,
than
yes, oh, yes.
they do in Italy or in Costa Rica.
I agree with
so,
that. Yes.
Could you share any culture shock that you have here in Ireland?
Culture shock? Well, culture shock, that's a good question. I'd say I found a way to work different, that's for sure. I really like, you know, I never worked at Agile before. And I found that extremely interesting. So the way the company that now I have the lucky to work for organize itself, and they trust me those
yes.
values to the, and
yeah.
then you learn, and then you are in
yeah.
a process of people that really are efficient, right?
Yes.
With this, I'm not saying that in Italy, because you know,
it's different.
It's different, and
then you expand your knowledge, because
yeah.
you know that okay, I did waterfall
yeah.
or I did cascade, and here we do Scrum.
Exactly. What I want to be sure that the audience understand is like I'm not doing comparison. It's just different. I'm not saying because I have a lot of respect of all the comms I worked, especially the
yep.
Italy,
yep.
The Italian one. So it's like. There are strengths and different stuff.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure if nobody can say it's better. Clearly I found here in an international context extremely powerful process mechanism that
yeah.
allows you to grow further. You know?
And one of the things that I came to have this idea of working abroad, and when I start to interview with some of the companies. Was that I said to them, I'm looking for a bigger market and bigger challenges, because
mm-hmm.
you do things in a scale. All
right.
And then in another company, you do stuff in another scale.
Mm-hmm.
And the rules are different.
Yes.
So it's not the same for if you're doing a product for, like, let's say, the European Union.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're trying to do a product for... let's say the United States
mm-hmm.
or the Asian market.
It's different
oh, yeah. because law is different, rules
mm-hmm.
are different.
Yeah.
So you need to learn those.
Oh yes, definitely.
And it's not that like you were saying, we are not trying to compare, but you need to learn the new rules
for the new
game.
That's for sure. I was just making sure
yeah.
to not do like, you left something was... You know,
yeah,
it's
no,
like, you,
yeah.
know, it, you know, to be respectful toward,
yes.
you know, who was really important for me, right?
And in terms of for negotiation, for salary, wages, benefits...
I didn't care.
You didn't care?
No,
because,
absolutely.
But you knew that you could, or you didn't care?
I didn't care because I think that the salary it's proportional to your value. If you give an important contribute to somebody, that somebody will, you know, will give you something back, right? In a fair environment, at least.
Yeah.
So this is my philosophy, right? Before, work on yourself. And because if not, if you discuss about, I want 1,000 euro more, I want... And then you finish in a position that you don't grow, well, probably, maybe you will not get any pay raise,
mm-hmm.
you know, whatever.
Yeah, and that's important, because sometimes we are fixed And again, there are styles, and people have different style to approach wages, benefits, everything in the, when you're getting a job on an offer. And one thing that we don't do that I think is try to don't set the amount now, and we say, okay, let's do a review in 6 months, and you can say and tell what I've done, and then we can build on that to know how far can I get and get better and provide more value to the company, then the company can provide more value to me.
But
at that point you have been proven. And you also have to prove to the company.
If you find yourself in a not a fair environment, probably in my what I was looking for was like a fair environment where that the people that works get a prize for that, and this is what I think is a fair.
And sometimes people get trapped because they think, oh, actually this company is not fair. And not all the companies fair, so I'm staying here.
Yeah.
And they just get used to whatever they get.
Yeah, that's might be a trap, yes.
Yeah,
yes.
And so for the people who are listening to the show now, and they might be thinking about going abroad, is there an advice that you will say to them?
Well, the advice that I can say is like challenge yourself and treat this as a journey, be prepared. There will be good moment, bad moment, that's normal. But never give up. I mean, it's like try to learn. Remember that the failure is part of the learning process. If you never fail, means two things: or you're not moving forward with your life. Second, you are not doing something new.
Yes. Right? Oh yeah, definitely.
That's the thing. To conclude my thing, after I talk about these interviews and then I found a Northern Irish company that was a subsidiary of an American insurance here in Dublin. I did an interview, was successful that time, and it was a perfect fit, and I stayed there 1 year, and then after 1 year I moved in another company that is currently working on it.
Oh, great.
So
are you happy? Are you staying? Still looking forward to keep a couple of years
I'm
more?
I'm very happy about this company, and I was, by the way, happy. I left my previous Irish company with a heavy heart, right? but definitely I'm really happy.
I didn't know much about Ireland before coming, and I never have found that they are great people. I'm not sure about you.
I knew that they were really, really good people, and because I had friends working here, and then they always told me about Irish people that they are really good, and then I found out myself that that's true.
Yeah, great. Well, good to know that you're having a good time.
Oh yes.
Any last advice for the people that are listening to the show today?
Well, yes. I mean, it's like treat like these kind of things with as an adventure, as a challenge for yourself. Clearly, there are different situations, right? In my case, probably was easy because I didn't have responsibilities on, children or.
Yeah.
But yes, I mean, it's like leave such experience like an opportunity to grow, and you will see that working on the things you need to reach your target, define your target clearly, shape your
road,
opportunities, and then you'll see that something will come out.
Also for closing, maybe the episode, we're getting longer than usual, but it's good advice, and you have give a lot of good advice as
I
well.
I hope so.
And I would say that sometimes we think that those goals are there far away, and big goals are too far away for us. And then, as you said, we can build small, and then we get there.
There was a Chinese proverb that say, even the highest peak of a mountain needs a small step to start, right? It was something like this, but I think I gave the idea, right?
Yeah, okay, great. Well, thank you so much, Cristiano.
Thank you, Leo, for having me.
And
thank you, the audience.
And if someone wants to get in touch with you, is there a way to get in contact?
Oh, I would, through LinkedIn, eventually. I'm there.
Okay, right. So Cristiano Zanotti.
Zanotti, yes.
Double T.
Double T.
Okay, for my case, is leonardo.martin@pm.me. Thank you, and thank you, Cristiano.
Thank you, Leo. Thank you all to all the audience.
Bye-bye. This is Work and Learn Abroad.